Common Confidential. Sometimes when you think about luxury, you think about like the bed sheets or the mattress that you're on. You don't necessarily think about the towels that you're going to use to clean up with afterwards. And that is probably my favorite thing about what we received from Common Confidential is these little cum rags. Y'all, it seems silly, but they are absolutely amazing. I mean, let's not get it twisted. The blanket they gave us is awesome too. Steph and I rolled around on it immediately. And the body butter that they gave us, I mean, it works for penetration too, which, right up our alley. But still, the six washcloths, that is what I think about most often and what I try to keep clean. Because if I'm going to clean up, I'd much rather clean up with that than with a paper towel. I know it's silly, but y'all go check it out yourself, commonconfidential.com, and then use our discount code AwkwardPillowTalk. Get some for yourself. You're going to thank me later.
So, part of the awkward is let's have a little talk about hygiene. The Summer's Eve products, you always walk down. I used to walk down and be like, what flavor would I like my vagina to be this month?
Right, like the flavor of the month.
But then I realized my favorite flavor of vagina is actually not Summer's Eve
Right.
or spring blossom. It's vagina.
Yeah, that's just straight up. That's the way it is.
And when we got a sample of this healthy hoo-hoo, that was my first concern, was what is this going to smell like?
Was like,
'Cause
uh-oh.
I'm pretty content with the way things are smelling. And it smelled like nothing.
Yeah, it was very odorless.
Completely odorless. And you've used it before and after play sessions, which is what you're supposed to do.
Right.
Helps balance the pH. And I've actually been able to use it a few times on myself too, because pH balance is not just for you.
Yeah.
Works for me as well. So if you're interested in giving something a go that's not going to take away that natural,
Flavor.
then you may want to check out Healthy Hoo Hoo and use our discount code Stephanie Class X and get yourself.
So I feel like this is one of those items that everybody always laughs about. Like you kind of saw it in movies, you're like, oh, it's a penis pump, and you're thinking, what is the point of that? Well, along with all of this fame that I've been given through this podcast, Bathmate was kind enough to send me a penis pump to try out. Now, I told him, on a good day, I'm pushing 9 inches. He sent me the Hydro Extreme 7, and I was hesitant to use it at first because, again, I don't really feel like I need this. But the way they explained it to me is this is kind of like a workout. My dick is like an athlete, like a professional athlete, like, let's say, an NFL player, and it needs to work out daily. So I need to pump iron with this thing about 3 times a day. Do 3 minutes of pumping, and then we do 2 minutes of what we call jelking. And we do that 5 times a week, so 15 different sessions. To say that Stephanie can feel a difference is, I mean, it goes without saying. I can feel a difference because I'm feeling parts of Stephanie I've never felt before. So I know she can feel a difference. Y'all, it's fun. It feels pretty good. And I mean, it boosts the confidence. I think you should check it out. Go ahead and get one for yourself. Bathmatedirect.com/StephanieClassX.
You're listening to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jason Class, along with my wife, OnlyFans model, and self-proclaimed awkward chick, Stephanie Class. We're here to get the awkward stuff out of the way. This podcast is a true representation of our journey through anxiety and learning to love sex. If any of that offends you, we'd like to say, fuck you.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Awkward Pillow Talk podcast. And we're getting ready for Hurricane Milton to come through here.
Yeah.
We're not going to get the direct hit. We're going to get the after
hit. The after goes all the way across the state. So.
But we're, everything is still all messed up.
Yep.
And, our kids just happily went off to school this morning, though, like nothing's going on. So
right.
We're just going to have this interview, and then maybe we'll consider going and getting some more water or something. I don't
know. Get prepared.
We'll see. We got plenty of water. We are set. We are trying not to overreact on it like everybody else around us, because honestly, like, we know that our house is built for it.
We're going
to
get
all the supplies for it. So the worst part is going to be stuck at home having to entertain our children
without electricity and power. Yep.
So pray for us, please. But y'all, I'm excited today because we are getting to speak to Amy Taylor, who is not only absolutely gorgeous, but has some amazing stories that she's going to tell us. And we were talking pre-interview about just kind of sex in general and how we feel comfortable talking about it now.
Right.
And she's comfortable talking about it. So this is going to be an interesting conversation. We're going to kind of dive into it a little bit and see if we can open up, our listeners as well as ourselves, because it's not very frequently that we get somebody that can feels like maybe they can go toe to toe with us on experience. So Amy, welcome, thank you so much for coming and talking to us.
It's so great to be there with you guys, and I hope you're safe. And I guess there's one way to hunker down in a hurricane that y'all
you got it. I mean, that's you don't need internet access for that.
We'll
just need internet access to profit from it, right? But so I was super interested, obviously, because your biography, very, very impressive. That's the word I was looking for. So, I can tell people now, I've had a Maxim model on my podcast, I saw Playboy Australia. So how do you come up to getting to this point of feeling comfortable with yourself enough to go into these magazines? I think that's a good place to start, right? Because for us, anxiety, showing ourselves, that was a huge start.
When did you start
modeling and feeling comfortable with yourself that way?
Yeah, well, I'm lucky. So I've watched some of your shows. And I love them. I think what you guys are doing, not to be too woo-woo about it, but it's actually important. Because look, y'all fans watching this, everybody fucks. It's the reason we're all here.
Yep.
We're all here because your mom took dick. Calm down.
So, exactly.
I don't mean to be vulgar. I realize I'm joking. And of course, love, making love when you love somebody or for the production of children is transcendent and very special. However, sport sex and all kinds of different forms of sex not only are fine and fun when consensual and no one's being harmed, which is most of the time, one hopes, but they also have always happened and always will. And so I was kind of lucky to come from a very shame-free family. My dad's a professor. He actually was one of the early experts on the social issues around transgender stuff. He's not a doctor like medically, but around the social issues of that stuff when they first used to fully transition, like in the 70s. So I grew up, we knew some of the most famous transgender people. We'd have dinner with them when I was 5 or 6. And I saw the diversity of like human sexuality and human experience very early. I wasn't hypersexual. I don't have a creepy uncle. Nothing happened. But I also, on the other hand, wasn't ashamed. And my family, maybe, were not religious. My dad was born to a Jewish mother, but he went to Catholic school in Paris in boarding school. My mom is Episcopal, but she's a military brat, and they were very secular. So, I went to a Presbyterian preschool, but religion is kind of a gap in my knowledge, sometimes for better or worse. I'd like to have faith, but I also love that I'm free from shame. My parents raised me to be safe. Don't let anybody coerce or control you if you don't want to. Although being submissive, that's a whole nother thing, but we can get into that. but if you want to have sex when you're an adult and you're happy to, don't feel bad about it either. Your value isn't as a pious virgin. You don't lose value as a woman because you fucked. We, as a family, rejected that notion that a woman's only value was in being untouched. This sort of weird trope that women lose something I never believed that. None of my family did. So when I first had sex at 18 with this boyfriend of mine in college that I loved, I was like, oh, this is for me. And when I first modeled, I had a conventionally attractive body. Modeling came and found me at 14. I didn't do any of the, of course, the sexy stuff then, too young. But when I moved to LA for graduate school and was in my 20s and 30s, and there, and that was the glamour modeling was available to me because it's Los Angeles, I felt no issue about, I auditioned in Burbank for Scott Cope for Playboy. And when they interview you and you do the thing, you are naked because they do kind of need to see what your body looks like. That's the job.
That makes sense. Yeah.
And so it didn't, I just don't give a fuck. I don't care shame. The awkwardness, I find it funny that other people find it awkward. It makes me laugh because my mother told me once, and maybe I believed it too much. She said, you'll stop worrying about what people think of you when you realize they don't.
Well, I get that.
So we had this whole conversation this morning with my kid. And we don't really talk about our kids very often on here, but I feel like it's important because it's a really important bridge to what we are dealing with in our lives right now. And then kind of a micro version on his life.
Right.
So his entire life, he's had this mohawk. He's a great looking kid. And his mohawk has just been part of him.
Since he was four
years old.
Right.
So recently he's like, Dad, kids in class are just being like, dude, you should get rid of the mohawk. It just doesn't look good.
They're like, it doesn't look good.
And I'm like, are kids in your class saying that because like, it really doesn't look good? Because like, I'm looking at you and like,
looks good.
But you look like awesome. Like,
he was able to like do his hair on his own today. Yeah, and like, it looked good.
I was like, I think that maybe the kids are jealous because like, you went in with your hair gelled for the first time in like a year. And it looks amazing. Like, you looked handsome, you know?
Right.
I was like, so that's probably why they're telling you that, you know, you should get rid of it because they're jealous of it. And I was like, buddy, I need you to realize something. This is going to be a repeating theme in your life where you are looking to get somebody to give you that like verification of, yes, you are good. You look good. You're doing well, but you're not going to get it because those same people are wanting to get that verification themselves.
And they're not getting it.
So they're not going to give it to you because they're not getting it.
Right.
I was like, this is going to be a really hard thing, but we're going. And I said that with his sister right there this morning too.
Right.
I was like, we are going to push through this, and I don't want you guys to have that outside force because that screwed your mom and I up so freaking much.
Right.
That peer pressure of what are people going to think? You know, what are any of that shit? You know,
right.
And I tell them frequently that, look, if there is something that you want to do and it is not going to harm you, or it is not going to harm me, then I am all for it.
Right.
You know,
like,
what
I mean, if he truly wants to get
if
rid
you
of
really
the mohawk,
want to get rid of your hair, I'm not going to fight you on it, bud. But don't do it because friends at school think you need to do it.
Right.
But, and I feel like that's just kind of falls into this whole thing, right? Is nobody, we all feel so uncomfortable about this fucking subject.
Right.
And I didn't really, I kind of did, but like not nearly as much as you. And I think I was with you and saw how uncomfortable she was, I was like, okay, well, I got to back off, you know, well, I'm going to make her uncomfortable.
Right.
And then now it's just, we just full force just.
Right.
It's just easier, you know, but living in that awkward moment, you know, that's kind of our thing. You laugh about it. We laugh about it too. That's our,
right.
We feel like, okay, we're feeling the awkwardness. We're doing something right now. You know what I mean? Like this is where it's supposed to be. That's fine.
Yeah.
But
well-behaved people never make history. And again, I don't mean to make too large of a thing of sexual freedom, but it is important as it is all kinds of freedom, like for your child, you're right. No one is an island. We sort of do have to be polite and be gracious to others because no one can survive alone. And you know, you want to have good manners. I don't run down the street telling people about my sexual escapades because that would be weird. But but if they're tuning into this, they've chosen this topic.
Exactly.
So I presume this is cool. And if not, dude, scroll to another YouTube channel, folks.
Exactly.
I think it is hard when you grow up and you learn you are not your parents. You are not your community that you grew up in, that you're of it, but you're your own little person who's going to be something different. I think when you find out you have kinks that turn you on, that can be very weird because the first thing you sometimes think is there something wrong with me?
What are other people going to think if they find out about it?
Like, sure. What if they find out? Yeah, they're like, oh my gosh. Like
that's been a big part of us. It's just, what if they find out? That's been the biggest question we've asked for probably 10 years. What if so-and-so found out? And it wasn't until recently that we were just like, fuck so-and-so.
They're
they've
like,
done nothing for us.
We're like, if so-and-so finds out, they're on the same website looking at the same things. So.
Also, so-and-so has secrets that you don't know about. They're
also
not secrets
true.
Either. No, I don't mean to say that anything about you is a flaw.
Right.
But we all have stuff. Like, the great thing, I'm over 40 now, and the great thing about getting older is, like, everyone's been through shit. Everyone's been divorced or bankrupt or had diseases, you know, cancer and recovered and been fired and, you know, their stuff's gotten outed. And it's so great because we're all like in the last pick of the draft. We're just like, this is what's left. Either you're going to love me and be my friend with my nonsense or you're
I like
not.
That.
And also, people have these chapters like, you can be wild sexually your whole life. I know people in, I know somebody in his early 80s who's still very sexual. He's an outlier and God love him. He's,
I hope that's me.
Dude's had rizz his entire life. Fighter pilot, made money. Dude just has rizz and his wife and him awesome. Are having the best time and they're in the BDSM scene. They swing and they are so old and they're still adorable.
Badass.
But awesome. Other people have these phases where they check some stuff out and then they don't. Or like you, my dear, you were very conservative and then you opened up like a flower and decided and I'm sure you've seen how much it weirds people out when a woman is comfortable with her sexuality and enjoying it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. They get so super uncomfortable and I'm like, okay, well, I'm sorry that you're uncomfortable by it, but like, I'm comfortable now. Like, I lived in that uncomfortable for so long that now I'm like, I don't even care anymore. Like, I can't care anymore.
That's just where we've had to be. It's just, we're not going to stop it. That's certainly like.
Yeah. Like, and that was a big thing too, is like, oh, what if, you know, so-and-so found out, like, would we stop? No. Like, we don't even care. Like, we're going to continue to do it. So like.
It's weird when they do, like one of my best girlfriends was a very major porn star. And she's no longer, she's retired happily doing other things. But when people started to find out, well, she lived in Agoura Hill, the backside of Malibu. So that's a little easier because in the valley in LA, there's a lot of porn. So a lot of people don't care, but some did. And the worst part was her children got bullied a little bit. However, it was amazing after a few weeks of people being like, oh, wow. Then people decided that the parents and the families of the bullies were actually the bad ones, which is true because it's their shame and their stigma, which caused their children to be mean to her children. Yep. She's not the problem. It's actually their cruelty that's the problem.
Yep.
And so eventually everybody was very much on her side after some initial surprise, because look, when you don't tell people something about your life, like me, I've been in Playboy, you don't announce it. What happens is people think you lied or you omitted, right? And then they wonder if they really know who you are. When they don't realize the reason you didn't say anything is because you just didn't know if they wanted to hear about every facet of your life, right?
Exactly. Right.
And I think often they're envious. There's a lot of people who feel sexually hamstrung by convention, and they would very much like to have a better and more satisfying and more adventurous sex life. That's almost universal. I can't think of very many people who wouldn't like to have a better and more fun sex life. And so there's often this how dare you, the audacity of people who dare to do so, that makes people upset. So because
I feel like I've pissed a lot of people off in my life because I've refused to just accept what is just naturally given to me.
Right.
Like I was a lead singer. Right. So I'm like, all right, cool. So I'm going to play in a band. I'm going to do some cover songs and stuff. Now I want some sponsors, you know, so I went and got sponsored by Jägermeister and I got like 9 national sponsors for my band, right? Yeah. I'm just going hog wild because I'm like, fuck it. Might Nobody told me I couldn't, you know, so I just kept going as big as I could. Then I'd have these other bands that are like, well, we're way better than you. Why do you have all these sponsors? And I'm like, because I fucking wanted it.
Right.
I went and got it.
Got it.
You know what I mean? And it's the same shit for everything else. I did real estate.
Right.
And I had people shitting on me because I was amazing at real estate. I got within 9 months of being a real estate agent, I got rookie of the year for the entire county, outsold everybody else who'd been in it for 18 plus months because I can sell and I'm good at my job.
Right.
And I got nothing but hate for it because everybody's like, well, you must. Well, my favorite line was, well, better to be lucky than to be good.
It's true. Yeah, the audacity of a person who dares, who, you know, maybe you want a big life with lots of adventure, and that's a great thing. Why wouldn't you? I want to arrive to my death exhausted and having lived and done a bunch of shit. And I've done a bunch of shit. And I am not sorry at all. Most of it was really fun. And even the stuff that wasn't that fun makes for great stories.
Exactly. That's our favorite part is that even if we had fun, but even if it wasn't necessarily for us, it's the stories afterwards that you're like, all right, that keeps us going and trying different things. Cause like,
oh my God, the first couple visits to clubs, those are the funniest. I watched those episodes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I went to the Red Rooster in Vegas with a guy. This is like a long time ago. And we're going to go to a swingers club, right? And see what's going on. I learned about the better, like, invite-only ones that screen and make sure it's a better. I learned about that later. But first, we went to the Red Rooster. We get there. It's like the experience you had where we're like, but we're looking around. We're curious. Right. We sit on the couch and we thought first we'd just have sex and be like exhibitionists, right? Let people just, okay, cool. Good start to it all.
Right.
Not interact with anybody else, but just do our thing. And we're doing it as you do. And this little tiny Gary Coleman looking dude sits right next to us and just starts power jerking it like an ape in a cage.
Oh my gosh.
And, dude.
Oh my God.
I mean, wasn't exactly who we would have picked. Cool. But it was a lot. So we never went back there and we learned about Fling and some of the other ones that I don't know if Fling still exists, but they were great. I went to several of their parties. Super fun.
Never heard of that one.
No. They might be gone. They were like, you had to apply and they had to check it. Like Sanctum, the one here in Manhattan, New York that, Hunter Biden was a big fan of Sanctum. Okay.
We can do a few invite-only ones.
Yeah, not too many, but a few.
Yeah, I think they screen because sometimes there's celebrities that want privacy, and sometimes they want to make sure you're attractive, which you guys obviously are. And then, unfortunately, sometimes there's a lot of drugs at them. I'm not into drugs. Fling, there were a lot of people who would, like, take a little bit of ecstasy. But they were completely cool if you didn't, which many of us also did not.
Right.
Just had a drink or two or nothing, you know, whatever.
Well, that's the amazing thing about an adult party, right? Where consent is there. Everybody can go and do their own damn thing. This ain't a Diddy party, you know what I mean? Where we're getting drugged up and you're getting thrown into the shit, you know? This is, you were coming here to have fun. And if you are whatever an adult that wants to have drugs and you can do it safely, then...
Yes. Safely, yeah, whatever kind of fun you want to have is up to you.
And that's what we love. Have you ever been to Hedonism in Jamaica?
No, but I know people who have. And it looks
amazing.
Fun.
Yeah,
is it
you
fun?
Need to go. That is amazing. It's our favorite place in the world. We've been four times and we'll be 400 more if we can.
we can pull it off.
But that's kind of...
It's a spot too.
It's the vibe of it is you're an adult. You can do what you want. You know, you aren't affecting, as long as you're not getting in the way of other people and you're
respecting the like rules, which there aren't too many rules there, but like, that mean they do still have rules in place, but you know, as long as you're being safe and respecting everybody, they don't really care what goes on. So,
but that's,
I mean, all this people in the lifestyle that I've ever met, none of them were ever about like power and control. That joke you made about Diddy, who apparently couldn't just be a normal client of sex workers. He had to start abusing people. I think he must have gone crazy because the word was that his parties were normal for many years. And I guess he went nuts, whatever. But you're right. Like all the lifestyle parties I've ever been to, everybody was completely cool. No meant no. It was all good. Like,
and that is such a common misconception. I think it's a big fear for a lot of people coming in is, you know, we say that no means no thing here. But it really does, like, work.
Right.
When you go to the club, too. You really tell them what you want. If somebody comes up and you're not interested, you really can just say no and they'll just walk away.
Right.
Unless you end up on Gang Bang Thursday. But
I mean, I went to a costume party with Fling. I took a guy I was dating who was a baseball player. He was super cute. You know, complete whore of a man, not marriage material, like the hot athletes, it would have been a disaster.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's super fun. And he tells me, he's like, I've never been to like a swingers party this. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be like the experienced one, like the hot slut who takes him to a party. Right. I'm thinking we walk in, it's like Norm from Cheers. Like seven women were like, hey, what's up? Like they knew him. I was like, oh, really? You've never been to stuff, sir? Go in.
That's funny.
It's super hot. I remember this girl, this woman, sorry, not girl, woman on a dance floor with like four people around her. And she was in absolute ecstasy, like not the drug, in pleasure.
Yeah.
And people had their hands on her and were supporting her because, I mean, it was so sexy. I still remember her. And then things were good, except that this baseball player decided he wanted to do cocaine. Okay, fine. It's not my thing. But I ended up babysitting dumbass because he's getting high. And things get really nice. We meet this couple who wants to play. We get in there. Things are starting. I remember her. She wanted to suck on my toes. And I was like, oh, this is starting out cool. What? Let's see where this goes.
Right.
As it develops and things might start getting good, baseball player gets apparently angry, gets like cocaine rage and decides he wants to fight people.
Oh, no. So
I had to stop everything with this beautiful woman, take him home. This is like the beginnings of Uber. I think we had to get a taxi.
Yeah.
And we get back home to my apartment and I'm furious because I've just been cock blocked by this idiot. And then he's up all night, of course, because of what he's done to his body. And I was mad. So I went to bed and he had to sleep out in my living room. And I guess he laid awake all night angry. I didn't care. So, so yeah.
Oh my that was, God.
I mean, I still think about what that night could have been if this retard hadn't.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We've ended up in many situations where we've just decided not to play.
Right.
And we've been able to, like, you know, witness. And one of the invite-only parties we went to was back in our Northern Virginia area.
Right.
And they did a Game of Thrones theme where everybody got to dress up and there's probably 20 Jon Snows there.
And, like, it was, like, right as, like, the series was ending. Yeah. So there was a lot of Daenerys, a lot of Jon Snow.
I just remember, like, we didn't have sex that night because your anxiety was just, like,
peak level. Yeah.
But the sex there when we were walking around, because it was behind all of these like sheer curtains and stuff,
so you could, like,
and you could
see
just
everything.
See everybody just going to town, and it felt like this medieval orgy. Like it was really neat, such an interesting like environment. But yeah, that was one of those ones where we're like, I think you just got overwhelmed at one point, and we were just like, all right, we just got to bounce.
Yeah. But, like, we were there, so like we had fun. But
do you find sometimes it just doesn't feel like the vibe, like?
It's the people for us if we can't connect. So we're not, I mean, we connect weird, I think, with people in general, but we're awkward. But like a lot of these clubs, when you get there, they already have their clique, you know, their group of people.
That go to every single party, every single time.
So for this one, I know we walked in and there was like two very distinct cliques. There was a circle of people here. There was a circle of people there. So we're like, okay, well, we're going to go sit down on this couch over here because nobody looked at us. Nobody did anything. Yep.
So
mind you, we were also generally like 10 years younger than everybody else.
Right. Mm-hmm. If not more.
Walking in. So they also typically ignore us on that. And we like older couples too.
Yeah,
but they won't look at us most of the time. They just ignore us because they think that we don't want anything to do with them. So
you would think it'd be the opposite, that they would all be very interested.
You would think so. Yeah. But we've had that quite a few times where they just get shy. So
Maybe they think
you won't like them. Like a lot of
It's possible. I do get RBF sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah.
Especially when I'm just like, when zoning. I'm like,
pink. We like people watching.
Yeah, I like people watching.
Yeah. So, like, you know, we'll just kind of like our faces will just kind of go blank and maybe it just looks like we're unapproachable. I don't know. But, you know.
Well, a shaved head is kind of an intense look and like you're really pretty. I don't know. People.
Well, to be fair, the shaved head is a new thing.
That's a new thing. Yeah.
So.
I mean, okay. Well, I don't. Yeah. It's funny. Like chemistry, sometimes it takes a while to evolve.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's also we've figured out it's our awkwardness. We have to be willing to approach people too, right? It's if we want energy coming back at us, we got to be willing to put it out.
Right.
Sure.
And it's taken us a long fucking time to figure out that dynamic.
Yeah, for sure.
Still working on it. We are mindfully working on it. You know what I mean? It's something we have to tell ourselves. Hey, we can just go walk up there and just say hi.
Shoot your shot.
Which I've always been good at.
I can't do it.
Yeah. And it's different when you're naked and trying to have sex with people. It adds that extra, you know, layer of intensity to it for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I'm generally pretty extroverted, but that does mean that sometimes I meet people, not so much for sex, but you meet somebody who's like, okay, like that was a nice chat and take care. And
yep.
Again, I think it goes to like the life I've lived where I don't really give a shit. I mean, you know, you were in sales, you know, another no is just that much closer to the yes, as they say.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yep, I get it.
And in terms of like being sexually desirable, I mean, having modeled for 1,000 years and dated, and I've learned that like there are people who are sort of more chased after sexually, either on magazines or in life. But honestly, there's somebody for everybody. Like whatever you look like or whatever your vibe is, there's people who will think, yeah, you're not for them and awkward. And then there's somebody who totally likes that. I mean,
absolutely.
We've fallen into this. I think it comes down more to personality at this point. Like mm-hmm. when you, part of her big thing is taking virginities. She's done, you know, 20 mm-hmm. at this point.
Yeah.
And, I would say that not all of them have the look that you would necessarily go for,
right.
typically, because they're very different.
Yeah, it's not like they're all the exact same.
You choose all of them.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's chosen essentially based on, you know, personality. I mean, there have been some where you've seen them and you've been automatically, no, you don't care what the profile says. You just can't bring yourself to do it.
Right.
But I mean, I think it's for the most part, it's, you know, personality and how people can.
Or like their story too. Like that adds to it. Like as far as like, you know, if they had grown up religious or grown up saying, I'm going to wait for marriage and spend it with my girlfriend and then they break up. So it's like, it adds a little bit extra like dynamic when like they have a good story in their pretty like decent like
I guess it's harder for looking. Us to I guess make that connection based on looks. Like if we're to be in a room and we're just going to be like, okay, I want to have sex with you,
right?
That's probably not going to happen,
right?
But if we have like a background story, like we can get to know somebody, talk, give us like 5 minutes of a conversation,
right. Like I know a lot of people in like
we'll fuck
like swinger community don't necessarily like to have a connection. They just want to like be like, let's go. And I'm like, I just want something. Just give me.
Well, see, now you're a little torn now on how we explain things to people. Because right. you're like, I want a connection in this sense. Like, right. if we're out in a party, you want a connection.
Right. But when it comes
But if we had a choice to play,
right.
you would rather just have something scheduled as far as like, or not scheduled, but scripted.
Right. Yes.
And that's typically why we avoid parties in the first place now.
Right. Because you can't really script those. I can't be like, hey, this is like the scenario. Like, this is how I want it to like go down. But like, when we're filming it, we can.
Yeah.
But like when we're at a party, it's completely difficult to do. So it's like, it's hard to like.
It's been our way of awkwardly overcoming is just being right. able to schedule it for her or right. not schedule, but script it.
And the filming thing, I mean, there's even more consent because literally everything's hashed out. Like I have some friends who are dominatrixes who shoot a lot of custom content because the fetish people are often real specific. Mm-hmm. And even as big as the internet is, they often can't find with exactly the thing they like. So they
right.
they pay content creators to create it. I'm sure you know, and maybe you have, not so much in BDSM, but like in whatever.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that every little thing is hashed out. And you're right. It can be a scene scripted. Also, like the lighting's better and the, you know, all that's great.
Yeah.
Water bottles are always there. All the good
yeah.
things. It comes straight from the shower. It's good.
Exactly.
There's a certain... The spontaneous sex is sort of everybody's fantasy that it just happens. Like, but actually, like, planned sex is actually lit. Like, it's
yeah,
like it's better than you think, right?
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Because of that, you can make it the way you want it.
You could like hash out all the details, be like, hey, I'd like to do whatever, whatever, and then
yeah. I mean, one of our favorite things is to send the scene out ahead of time. We'll say, hey, so this is our idea. Like we'll do, we've done erotic photo shoots. We like to take, you know, porno mags essentially and be like, okay, we're going to randomly open up a scene and then we're going to recreate that scene.
Cool.
And that's been our favorite thing is to be able to like send these scripts to the guys and be like, all right, or girls and right. say, hey, so this is our idea. You'll come in. Essentially, we want to say, okay, you're going to open this up and then whatever we open up to is what you're going to recreate with either me right. or her.
And like what's nice is that like, yes, while it is random, it is also like somewhat controlled because like we've gone through and we've like looked at the different scenes and stuff. But like I still have no idea what the scene is going to actually end up.
It's going to be wild as fuck.
Right.
Like it's going to be full on penetration.
Like,
you know what I mean?
Right. So like there's still that cool like.
By the end, we're going to have a great time because that was the workup. That was the foreplay right there is, you know, we had to do a little bit of you know, work.
Right. Yeah, yeah. It's the best kind of work.
And then we can get into it.
So I've only made love to one virgin. I was going to ask, like, what is it about that? Like, I felt like it was a kind of an honor and a responsibility, kind of.
Like, I mean, I don't know. It's one of those things where, like, with the first one, it was like an absolute no. And I was like, this isn't for me. And then I thought about it and I'm like, well, that'd be kind of cool. Like, especially if I can film it. And so I'm like, I'm not going to do it unless like I can film it. Cause like, I don't know, just seemed odd. And so I was like, I'm going to try this. And then it kind of like took off. And I don't know. There's just something about like,
you love their expression.
Right. That's my favorite part. And like, no one gets to see that except for us. Cause we blur all their faces. And so it's like getting that like initial like reaction when they first like go in is like, I don't know. I like that for some reason. I don't know why. I just,
yeah, I mean,
knowing,
I,
you know, like just knowing
it's
that
such
like,
a, it's such a raw moment, like right. The entire thing, because you think about like just all the emotions this person has, all of the anticipation
or
they've
the
had, leading up their entire life has led up to this. You know what I mean? They've thought so long about this exact moment.
Right.
They're shaking, you know what I mean? And then, I mean, we've just got some really cool shots from it. Like,
right. And it's like, you know, I'm doing like this, especially the ones that have like been like treated unfairly by, you know, exes or whatever. It's like, I'm almost like stepping in and being like, it's all right. Like I can.
The redemption.
Right. That's the word. I was like, I can't think of the word. But yeah, it's like the redemption. And then, or if like there's the anxiety, I'm like, guys, I know. I feel that. Like, I understand. So, like, you don't have to worry
about
that.
There's been two dudes that came through that had just crippling anxiety. So we were able to, like,
talk
kind of pinpoint,
it.
Essentially, because, right. Like, it was exactly like her.
Right.
And one of them, I think one of our favorites is number 10.
Right.
And he was this dude. He was not that much younger than us.
Right.
But he'd gone on tour with,
like,
these,
he was a famous, you know.
Yeah, he went
like,
on tour with a famous rapper. So he was like,
he had plenty of opportunities. He just,
yeah.
Every like, time I he just, got there, he couldn't get his dick hard.
Right.
And then he would get in his head and it would just,
and then it just snowball from
this
there.
Loop. So we were like, all right, let's see what we can do. And he comes over and we start going and then his dick goes soft and he couldn't get it going. And we're like, oh no. I was like, you know what though? I was like, I'm not a doctor, but like, I've got some Cialis. Like, let's just try a little, man. But like, take one, give it 20 minutes, just see what happens. And he took it, gave it 20 minutes, and then next thing we know, we're friggin' spit roasting her.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
After that, so.
And he was like, y'all, I had no idea that this is what I needed. He goes, because I'm a young guy. Why the fuck would I need ED meds?
Right.
He was like, I just thought there was something wrong with me. He goes, you have no idea what this has done.
Right. And that's I think the best part for me is like the knowing how like grateful and like some of these people are so career focused or school or whatever, and then they just like, oh yeah, I forgot to do this like one major milestone in my life, and so then they like get focused on that and then everything else in their life kind of falls apart. And so like once that one little thing is taken care of, they're like, I can go back to focusing on school or work or whatever, and then it's like their anxiety kind of melts away and like they're just
kind of
able
like
to be like
chiropractor, right? Or like you got a
right, like
fucked
you
up
do
part
like
of your back, you know, my ankle hurts, so I'm gonna go ahead and fix my back. Because
do you feel like it relates to like how you opened up after starting life like a little?
I think so, yeah, like for sure, because it's like I was so sheltered, and so it's like I knew nothing, and so it's like, even though I still feel like I don't know anything, even though like I've been in the lifestyle for 10 years and content creator for 4 years, it's like, let me give you what?
Like 5 years.
Oh,
now.
5 years.
We've said for a long time that we were going to be, by the time we are in our 40s, we are going to be
the seasoned vets.
The seasoned vets. We're going to be able to fuck all of our friends.
Right. But
I mean, maybe you can open a club or something. I know some states are friendlier to it than others. I know like sexual surrogacy, which is almost what you're doing with these virgins. It's almost therapeutic, really.
For sure.
That is 100% allowed in lots of states. Like,
yeah,
it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. There was that movie with Helen Hunt where she is one. It's lovely.
Okay. I don't think I know that one.
No, I don't know that one.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
It's a few years old.
We agree. I mean, it would totally, I don't think that would necessarily be something we would sign up for
right.
necessarily, because you like to have obviously a little more, you know, control over it. And, but
yeah, I think the surrogates, it's like very clinical. It's a different vibe.
Totally get it. But yeah, I mean, it's totally important though. Like, I can't imagine, because there's just some people that are just never going to be able to get it. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's just, that's just unfortunately the cards that life has given them. But if we, you know, offer this up, which a lot of countries do, right. You know, I just don't understand the downside of it, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, and we do it in a safe way. Like, we make sure, you know, like, cause a lot of their issues are like, oh, I don't want my identity to get out. Like, I get that. Totally understand. So you're like, we don't, like, nobody knows your name. Like, you like to tell them, we treat you like cattle. You get a number. That is how we keep track of who you are. Like, for the first, like, up until, like, what, 4 months ago, I didn't know any of their names, like legitimate like names, because I just didn't want to know, because yes. I'm like, I don't care. And so, like, I mean, I went back and was like, all right, well, I got to know, you know, for legal purposes and whatever. But like, you know, like, I just was like, I don't want that like knowledge. And so I'm like, you literally just have a number and that's how I know who you are. And so, like, you know, it keeps them safe. It keeps, like, I mean, they know who we are, like our legal names. And so it's like,
sell the videos too, because then people are going to be like, can I have number 8?
Right. Instead of being like
a Chinese food menu, it's
exactly.
Easy. So, you know, there's 2257 records, of course, but beyond that, like, it's not relevant, right?
Right. Yep. Right. Yeah. Right. And like, and that's like a big thing for everybody is like, you know, I tell them, I'm like, we will make sure you are not found out. Like, and
we have to have all the records. You're going to have to sign your ID or sign and give us your ID, and we're going to know all about you.
Right.
But the rest of the world does not need to know anything about you.
Right.
And as long as you can trust the fact that we've done this 20 times.
Right. And that's what we tell them. Like, you know, every time that we do another one, we're like, look, we've done this X number of times. Like, nobody has found out. And we even talk to like the previous ones, like occasionally, and be like, did this change your life? How does this made it better? Have you told anybody? And like, some are like, I will never tell a soul. Like, this is what happened. And then others are like, I don't care. Like, tell people, because like, it needs to be talked about. And like, this is, you know, they're like, I won't tell, you know, like who we are, but they're like, you know, we'll say like, hey, like I did this because it needed to happen. So it, I mean,
I got a friend who's a pretty famous celebrity. When he, about 15, 20 years ago, he was friends with a pretty famous porn star, and he was one of 100 guys to do her 100 man gangbang video.
That's awesome. And
he's on the cover of some promo, but he's in sunglasses. And he, unfortunately, you talk about awkward, he has lived the last like almost 2 decades terrified that someday somebody's going to be like, dude, that's you. And we all talk about it, like those of us who love him, who would never hurt him, because we don't, also we don't care.
Right.
Would you just deny it? Because I guess no one can go get those 2257 records. They're locked up in a lawyer's office, right?
Right.
So he could just be like, yeah, that looks a lot like me, but it's not, I guess.
Right.
And also very few people watch it anymore. It's older, but he was pretty scared for a while, but yet he kind of needed an adventure. He was kind of a dorky guy, didn't get a lot of girls. I think part of the fear was fun, because he was like, I've at least got some kind of an adventure in my little life.
Right.
And luckily nothing bad ever happened. I don't think he was even paid to do it. Also, that's, porn is a legal industry, like it or not, folks, it's legal. So, I don't think he could have ever been like fired or anything. Worst case scenario, some people would have raised their eyebrows. Yeah. Nobody ever cared, I guess, or found out. Or if he did, it was like you guys, where they can't be like, hey, I watch a lot of gangbang porn and I saw you.
Right. And yeah, I don't know. It's just one of those things where you're like, you know, yes, you have to have that risk, but you also have to like keep it safe.
We try to explain it, and I understand it's tough for people to want to trust a stranger, you know what I mean? And
to do like this for the first time. And we tell a lot of people, like, it's a lot of pressure. Like, when these virgins come over, like, they're coming over to have sex for the first time. My husband is there. He's filming it. And like, it's a lot. Like, we've just met this person for the first time ever. And so it's like, there's a lot of pressure. And, you know, we tell them, we don't ever expect them to like, you know, like we want them to have fun, but like, you know, if they can't come, they can't come. But like, you know, if they can come, great. We're going to get it on film. But you know, if not, then no big deal.
Yeah, we're all about no pressure because right. it's just not fun. There should be zero pressure.
There should be zero anxiety because there's already a lot of anxiety going on for them. That shouldn't be at the top of their mind as far as like the having fun. And like, I remember there was, I don't remember what number it was, but one of them wasn't able to come. And they're like, well, am I still a virgin then? I'm like, no, bud, like you're good to go. Like just because you didn't come doesn't mean that you're still a virgin. I was like, you were able to like get it.
If that's the case, you're still a virgin.
Right? Like, shoot. Yeah. But like, you know, it was like, I hate that that was like the stigma for him was that like, in order to not be a virgin is you have to be able to come while having sex. And I'm like, that's not fair. Like that shouldn't be the expectation. So
yeah, I don't think guys finish on you too instead because they couldn't get out of their head enough to finish in you.
Right. Right. We've had a few that have done that. Yeah. So
I had a threesome once with a guy who he had never done that. And I didn't know if I believed him, but I was like, you can't like live and die without ever trying this. You got to check that out.
Right.
He got too much excitement and anxiety and he kind of hated it. I hope he revisited it later. I don't know. This is years ago, but that happens. I mean, being a male porn star is harder than people think.
Like,
Yeah,
like, I feel it. Perform.
Yeah, for sure.
I try to tell people I'm not a machine.
It's amazing how some people in like OnlyFans and content, they, whether or not they're the most conventionally perfect looking, their scenes really come across. And it's usually the authentic enjoyment. They're doing what their kink, their fetish, their true enjoyment is. And that comes across on camera, man.
Yeah.
I love this democratization of adult content that
for sure.
It's not just these giant gatekeepers like Vivid and those companies that decided who the stars were, who we could watch. It's amazing now in recent years that people can put out content and you guys are like so tan in your tank tops. I'm very jealous. It's already getting slightly chilly up here.
I mean, it got cold here recently, but that's just because of the storms coming. But
cold.
Yeah. Cold. Yeah.
Yeah.
My kid didn't want to go down to the beach last night because it was 80 degrees.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's too cold.
Like, that sucks. Like,
I lived in LA for 24 years, and I feel like that's where, like, the sunny, warm places, I feel like that's people are sexier. Although, I was told before I moved to New York that people are more prudish up here. And it is true in terms of, like, talking about sex until they know you. They're not as open as Los Angeles, where they'll fully talk about their sex lives with anybody. But their behavior is not that prudish. Once you know New Yorkers, they're engaging in just as much shenanigans as anyone else anywhere on Earth.
I believe it.
I find that universal. Like, I've been to Cairo, like 88% Muslim, supposedly so conservative. Dude, they got sex workers and gays and swingers, and they got all kinds of stuff there too. Like, it's totally universal for people to want sexual adventure. It's just amusing how like in Miami it's so open, or LA, and other places hide it, but the same stuff's going on.
Yep.
We are definitely the odd man out in our area.
Oh, yeah.
I think we are one of the few for sure. And anytime that we reach out to anybody else that is even close to our like size, I guess.
Right.
They get scared or ignore us. So
yeah, they don't want to. Well, especially because we're a couple too. It's usually single women, and they're like, "Oh, absolutely not. I won't work with a couple." And you're like, "Okay, why?"
Wait,
like,
single women won't work. Why?
Oh, no idea.
No idea. We have zero idea.
We get our fair share of single women. Don't get me wrong, but not ones that want to film. Typically, it's usually like the ones that want to
try something
different, like a unicorn or whatever. That's fine. But any of the content creators,
we have a hard time
getting them to connect with. So,
but it's all right.
I'm not complaining.
Well,
I mean,
I imagine like even we all women online, we get a, you know, 100 offers a day from guys who want to film with us.
Right.
That's just a guy who wants to sleep with you and he doesn't care if it's on camera or not.
Right.
So maybe they already have lots of people like everywhere they can film. I don't know. I don't know.
We're also, you know, because we have, you know, responsibilities that we have to be home for,
right.
You know, we have to have people come to us and which is fine. Cause during the day we can host.
Right.
But we're like an hour away from Orlando, which I think is like probably the biggest hub of creators near us.
Yeah.
But anywhere other than that, it's pretty dead close to us. So.
Yeah.
Well, big cities, there's just more of everything, right? There's absolutely. That's how it is, right?
For sure.
I'm sure.
I'm getting my fair share, so I'm not complaining by any means. But no, what you were saying about like I guess being able to open it up, getting away from the bigger production companies.
Right.
I still feel like we have those kind of restrictions for things for sure, because we've gotten kicked off of so many social platforms at this point from people that just do mass like reporting on us.
Yeah.
And it's to the point.
Adult content.
Yeah, because like we're jumping into this realm or something. Like we've had three Reddit accounts get deleted, like permanent IP bans. We've lost TikTok accounts with thousands and thousands of followers, Instagrams, and we know that it's nothing that we posted. It's from these agencies or bots that come through and basically do mass
or other just creators that are salty because of whatever. Like
you report enough with us being sex workers, you know, essentially. They're going to take the side of whoever's reporting it, right?
TikTok is trying to stay like pretty like PG. Mm-hmm. Like I do brand deals, and they keep assigning me violations for advertising bras that have paid me to advertise the fucking bra. Like I have to show the bra. Right. What do you want me to do?
We got flagged recently for lingerie.
Right.
I mean.
And it wasn't even sexy.
It's a brand deal. You want me to just hold it up? I guess that's right, what I'm like. Yeah. It's not going to be a very good ad, assholes. But I know TikTok is going to try to stay PG. You know, Instagram, you can put a butt, but you can't put a woman's nipple.
You can't put a butt without getting your page unrecommended. Apparently,
really? Oh, yes. Like band?
Even with a thong on.
But then you'll see.
I had a whole conversation with Meta support recently because they put the shadow bans on us. You know, made our accounts not recommendable.
Right.
And it's because of sexual content. I was like, sexual content. We literally like you see. I tagged the lingerie company that sent it to us. And I see way worse on every other account.
Like I see a straight ass all there. Like.
And they said
porn stars on Instagram.
Yep. And they go, sorry. I can assure you that they are dealing with the same ban that you were dealing with when they post things like that. And I said, I can assure you they fucking aren't.
I mean, X is very free, but everyone just fights with everybody on there. Every time I open it up, I get angry because it's just people fighting. I hate that about X, but it is very free for now. I imagine he'll have to kowtow. It's governments that eventually put the squeeze on them all.
Yeah. Yep.
Threads, they're all pretty PG. OnlyFans is the last one. And I mean, they'll make that guy's life hell eventually. But the great thing is, I mean, I've been a sex worker on and off for almost a quarter century. When they ruin one, they usually take down the biggest guy or woman, whoever owns, and it'll be OnlyFans at some point. They'll take him down, but maybe he'll be in Switzerland or Dubai by then and just whatever. And then there'll be another one that'll take over for a while. It seems to be this every 5-year cycle of somebody being the dominant player.
Yeah, we're starting to see.
They're banning porn. They banned porn, at least Pornhub, in like 18 states now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've felt the squeeze this past year from our income from all this stuff that just, I mean, we were making easily $10,000 plus a month, and then this last month it got down to like $3,000. Oh, we're like,
VPNs are going to be the future, clearly. And California just voted against the ban. They literally voted against it, and people flipped out and called California pedophiles and blah, blah, blah. But
look, we keep shaming this shit for everybody, right? Like, we're trying to protect kids. Yeah, but it turns into shame for everybody. And that's what I think is one of the contributing factors for Steph is like, if we can't talk about it, you know, in general, even when there aren't kids around, because, it's a taboo subject. Somebody might be uncomfortable.
Right.
Then
how is it ever going to be like normalized and okay. And like be able to talk about it. Cause like we should be able to talk about it. And
of course I started a safe sex education outreach program when I was in high school. I was 17. I wasn't 18, but I would have, by today's insane standards, they would have called me a creep because we learned that middle school kids, especially in the inner city, were already having sex at like 12 or 13. They are. Mm-hmm. And that they wouldn't talk to adults because adults are uncool and it's their parents. They don't want to talk to them, but they would talk to an older teenager about like condom usage and safe sex practices and preventing pregnancy and things like that. So I started a group and we went around and talked to middle school kids about safe sex. We taught them how to use condoms and where to get, you know, the pill if they needed it.
Right.
And by today's standards, I bet you, although this was in California, which is super liberal about stuff like that, we probably wouldn't be allowed to. I don't know if today's they would let us do that. But what you get when you pretend magically that young people aren't developing into sexual adults is you get teen pregnancy, you get mortality, you get disease transfer, you get a lot of bad things when you just sort of decide to play ostrich that people don't want to fuck.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
On the internet, again, like I was saying earlier, on those sites, if they're mad at kids seeing content like yours and mine, then that is on the site to create software that doesn't let a kid see my account.
Right.
I'm sure that's easily codable. I'm no tech person, but I'm sure that's not impossible to write code for.
Yeah.
And the kids are getting around it, well, you guys in Silicon Valley figure that shit out. It's not my problem.
So people can also just parent better.
Oh, well, yeah, that too. Yeah.
I mean, very good point. Very good point.
I mean, I'm in the, you know, adult industry and, you know, I have full control over the internet in my house and the people that use the internet in my house.
Right.
I know what they're on. So if you're not paying attention and your kid's getting into that shit, then who's the problem?
Right.
We
know who they hang out with. We know who they, you know, talk to and communicate with and what they're doing when they are online. And so it's like, if we ever see a red flag or whatever kind of flag, we shut it down quick. Cause you're like, oh, I don't want you talking to that kid online or whatever. And so we make sure that,
yeah, not too hard to just be an involved parent.
Right. Well, right. And when they get older and it's appropriate for them to develop into adult stuff, wouldn't you rather they trust you and talk to you?
Exactly.
Yep.
When the time is right later.
We've been very, you know, clear with each other on that, is that we're going to be so fucking blunt about it.
And obvious.
Because I didn't get any. I watched Austin Powers, I think, when I was like 12. And then after the movie, my mom was like, so I feel like maybe we need to have a talk. And I was like, Mom, you saw me laughing during this entire fucking movie. I think I understand. Like, you know what I mean? Like that was my talk.
Right.
And yours was not much better. Yeah, so
mine wasn't much
like,
better,
we're going to be like, look, y'all expect to go out, have fun. You know what I mean? But be safe. That's the name of the game. Explore, but be safe.
Of course. I mean, we found my dad's porn stash like a lot of kids do. Like those old like 1980s Playboys.
Yeah.
Those women were so beautiful. I don't even think I knew it was like sexual. I just thought these women were like living Barbie dolls and they were so pretty.
That's awesome.
So, yeah. I mean, and I don't think it was harmful. Nothing. I mean, I guess some would say maybe it was, but I mean, you go to Europe and like after 10 p.m., all the TV is adult content.
Like, I believe it.
On like DirecTV and cable and streaming. Like they have a very different relationship with sex in like Western Europe.
I believe it.
Yeah, we need to go travel a little more.
Yeah, we need to get out.
I mean, no place is perfect, you know. I love, at least New York City is pretty permissive. At least, and LA had content creators in every single apartment everywhere. Like that was like, if you saw somebody who was kind of attractive and had a nice looking apartment, you knew they were using it to film.
That's fine. Why wouldn't they? Right. You might as well. Yeah.
No, but sure. I think, you know, the awkwardness as your podcast talks about, that's the squeeze that makes the juice, not a squirting pun, but if we, nothing ever gets better if we don't get into the awkward. Mm-hmm. And I'm so sad for people. I did this horrible debate podcast earlier this summer against a conservative pundit. I'll never do it again. These arguing rage bait podcasts. I made a mistake.
Oh no.
Yeah, it was horrible. It was a horrible experience. I don't want to traffic in that rage stuff. It sells even better than sex on the internet. All these podcasts that are just angry, but they're horrible. And I learned that the person who was arguing with me about my lifestyle choices and telling me I'm going to burn in hell, blah, 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 that this gentleman had a real problem with a porn addiction, couldn't control himself, and therefore hated porn and blamed his inability to have self-control on porn instead of realizing that for most people, porn addiction is not a problem. Most of us can watch it, enjoy it, and then go do other things like take our kids to school and cook dinner. Right. Right?
Exactly.
But for him, it was a problem. So he decided that it needed to be blamed for his lack of self-control.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's abdication of, like you said, with parental responsibility, it's abdication. Just because you have an addiction to something doesn't mean everybody else does.
Right.
Right. I mean, you could take that, like, you could go with, say, porn versus, like, you know, having a drink or drugs or, like, just because one person has this problem doesn't mean everybody does. And everybody should be able to, like, enjoy it if they're able to control it.
So. Yeah. It was, I would like to see this gentleman's internet search history because I suspect he still has a problem.
Oh, no. But
who knows?
Well, I guess this might be a good place for us to end, but is there anything else that you'd like to bring up, Amy?
No, I love what you're doing. I love your stories. I love the funny ones too. And I love the sexy ones. And
well, thank you.
I think you guys are like the cool kids. Like, I don't think,
I don't think anybody would ever call us that, but
no,
thank you.
No, we wouldn't be.
You said it in one of your episodes. You said you found out that there's a lot of awkward people and that that's actually like a cohort. And
yeah,
I think awkward is the new cool. Like,
yeah, maybe.
I love your honesty. I really like your, I think you guys are brave.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate that.
And for every single person that gossips about you, you know what? They're looking up your content and they're giving you traffic on the internet. So fuck them.
Exactly.
Got it.
Well, I like it.
Amy, I will make sure that we have all of your links below. And thank you so much. And you are somehow more beautiful on camera here than you were in your pictures that you sent me. So I'm not sure how you pulled that off.
I mean, it's...
Congratulations.
It's makeup, but...
No.
You guys, you beautiful guys.
Thank you.
Come hang out in New York sometime.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Near Orlando, let us know.
We got beautiful beaches, so...
Yeah.
So cheap. One of these days I'm moving to Florida, I swear, like everybody. And stay safe in the weather.
Yes.
We will.
Thank you. We will.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.